So take a look at the Gemara in Menachos Daf Lamed. So the Gemara in Menachos has a different starting point than the Gemara in Maseches Baba Basra. It's not starting from the point of who the authorship. It starts with Menachos. We're talking about Mesora and how to write things and how the different parts of the Torah work out and how the different parts are written. So and how you end a sefer in Chumash. Can it end in the middle of a line? Does it have to go to the? Can it end in the middle of a column? Does it have to go to the end of the column? That's the context of the Gemara in Menachos. So the starting point in Menachos Daf Lamed is we're talking about ends of books. So when we talk about the end of the book, so we say, you know, there's an interesting halacha about the very end of the Torah. The Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Shobar Abba, Amar Rabbi Gidol, Amar Rav, Shmona Psukim Shabbatorah, Yachid Koreosan, that the last eight Psukim of the Torah are read by a Yachid, whatever that means. We'll discuss that. Bebesa Knesses in Shul. Kiman, who's that going like? So the Gemara introduces us to a machlokas and tells us that it's going to lok Rabbi Shimon. To say that a yachid is koreyosan is against Rabbi Shimon. Why? What does Rabbi Shimon say? D'tanya, we have a braisa. Vayamasha Moshe Eved Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu dies, the Eved Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Eved Hashem dies. So the Gemara, the braisa raises the obvious question. Efshar Moshe Chai. V'kasa Vayamasha Moshe. Is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu was alive? Two girsos over here. Some of the girsa, Efshar Moshe, Mace, because of Vayamasha Moshe. Either one is a problem. Could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu was alive and writing Vayamasha Moshe? That would make him a liar. Could it be that Moshe is dead and writing Vayamasha Moshe? That would make him dead and unable to write. So how is that possible? How could Moshe Rabbeinu have written those words? Ella, Ad kan kasav Moshe, mikan ve'elach kasav Yoshua bin Nun d'Rabbi Yehuda. So he says, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote up until that point, up until the last day Pesukim. Last day Pesukim were filled in by Yoshua bin Nun. He wrote the last day Pesukim. That's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. V'amila Rabbi Nechemian. Some say it's Rabbi Nechemian's Shita. We'll call it Rabbi Yehuda's Shita for now. So Amar lo Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, Efshar Sefer Torah chasaros achas. Can that be that the Sefer Torah is missing even a single letter from what Moshe gave us? Uksiv, after all the pasuk says, L'koach ha-Sefer HaTorah zev v'samtem oso. Sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the entire Torah, that we're supposed to believe that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the entire Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu called it the Sefer HaTorah, so the entire Sefer has to be something that was given to us, including the last day Pesukim from Moshe, and Moshe had the ability to give it to us so it would happen before he died. Ella ad kana, so rather what's the deal with the last day Pesukim? So Rabbi Shimon says I have a different explanation. Ad kana Kodesh Baruch Hu Omer uMoshe Kosev Yomer. Up until the last day Pesukim, Kodesh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe what he wants written. He said it. Moshe wrote it and said it. Kosev Viomer. He wrote everything Hashem said and then repeated it himself. Mikan ve'elach, and in those last eight psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it, uMoshe kosev bedema, and Moshe wrote it with tears, literally. K'mashenemer la'alon, just like, where do you have such a thing, that Moshe would write with tears? What does that mean? That Moshe didn't, notice two differences. It says, before the last eight psukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say it, Moshe would write it and say it. Last day Pesukim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it, so God's role is the same. Moshe's role changes in two important ways, though. If you read it quick, you miss it. Two important differences in how Moshe did things. Whereas previously, he would say it and write it. Over here, in the last day Pesukim, it's just as Moshe kosev bedema. He wrote it differently. He wrote it with tears as opposed to writing it with ink. Plus, he didn't say it. He just wrote it. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk to support this idea that what? Something, that one of those differences, to support the idea of one of those differences. Let's see what the pasuk says, and we'll see which difference it's supporting. K'mashenemer la'alon, like the pasuk says. Now, important to get the context of the pasuk. So in the nice Masifta Gemaras, they fill in the whole context of the pasuk on the side. And it says over here, context of the pasuk is when the Sarei HaMelech Yoyakim asked Baruch ben Neria, after Baruch read in front of them Megillas Eicha that he had said was dictated to him by Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was the prophet of doom. He was the one that wrote Sefer Yirmiyahu and also wrote Eicha. or at least dictated Eicha to Baruch ben Neria. So Baruch ben Neria read the book of Eicha. So the Sarei HaMelech asked Baruch ben Neria whether Yirmiyahu gave him every detail that was written in it, and therefore they should be very concerned and very worried about the Pratim, or he only gave him the general idea and Baruch ben Neria filled in the blanks. That's what he wanted to know. So Baruch ben Neria responds, Vayom lehem Baruch, mipiv, Baruch says to them, from the mouth of Yirmiyahu, mipiv, from his mouth, from Yirmiyahu's mouth, Yikra Elias kol advar ma'ela, he read to me all of these things, meaning he called out to me all of these words, Vani kosev al sefer b'diyo, my job was simply to write on a sefer b'diyo with ink, that was it. So what do you see from that pasuk? We tried to say, because Moshe Rabbeinu was writing the last day of Pesukim, so there were two major differences. He no longer repeated every word, and he didn't write in ink anymore, he wrote in tears. What's this pasuk trying to show us? So he says he wrote in ink, so clearly not conforming to what Moshe did. That certainly would not help Rabbi Shimon. But notice what he says. Yirmiyahu called out everything to me, and what did I do, says Baruch? I just wrote. Baruch says, I didn't repeat anything, I just wrote. I didn't say the words, I just wrote them. So the Gemara is trying to say, what you see from this pasuk is that when very sad things are being said, or when the person who is writing is very sad about what he is writing, he doesn't repeat it. He just writes it. That's what happened with Baruch ben Neria, and that's what happens with Moshe Rabbeinu in the last day of Pesukim of the Torah. The Bedema may mean that he didn't write it with tears as opposed to ink. What might Bedema mean? Just pasuk reading of the Gemara. When we say, oh, he came running in the house in tears, does that mean he was wading through a pool of tears? No, it means that when you're Bedema, it means that you're crying as it's going on. So Moshe Rabbeinu was writing the last day pasuk in Bedema, pasuk shot probably means he was writing with a grave sense of sadness. And because of that, he didn't repeat the words. Not that he used tears to write. He was writing with a sense of sadness, and because of that, he didn't repeat the words. And that's the raya from the pasuk of Baruch.
But how do we know that by Yirmiyahu and Eicha that you have to repeat it? Meaning here, with Moshe and Hashem, that makes sense that you have to repeat each word, but with...
You're saying by Navi, maybe there's no such din that you have to repeat it. Okay. Why would it be different? Why would Navi be different than Torah in that regard, in terms of repeating it?
One is, well, with Moshe was Yipia Hashem, they spoke directly, so maybe it's a stronger Masorah.
Good, okay. Very good. So we'll have to see. I think we're going to get back to that soon, Amir Hashem. And also you have the concept of Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Grono by Moshe Rabbeinu. Like there was a very direct link with the words of God and what came out of Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth. So that you would expect more by Moshe Rabbeinu than you would by other Nevi'im. Good. So, anyway, so the Gemara goes on and says, so the idea that the last day Pesukim have a different halacha, because that's what we started with. We started with a different halacha of Kriyas HaTorah. That when you do Kriyas HaTorah in the last day Pesukim, it's a different halacha. It's done by a yachid. And we'll discuss what that means. But it means something is done differently in shul when you do the last day Pesukim. So that seems to conform with the sheet of Rabbi Yeshua, of Rabbi Yehuda, not with the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Why? Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said Yeshua wrote it. So if Yeshua wrote it, I understand we'll treat it very differently. So we'll have some strange halacha about it because it was written by a different author. But if you hold, like Rabbi Shimon, that it wasn't Yeshua who wrote it, it was Moshe Rabbeinu who wrote it. He was just very sad at the time that he wrote it. So why should it be treated so differently? So the Gemara's answer is, I could even be going like Rabbi Shimon. It's treated differently. Hol v'ishtani ishtani. That since anyway it was written bedema, since it was written with a great profound sense of sadness, and it wasn't written as Moshe was repeating the words, so it was somewhat different than the rest of the Torah. It wasn't as different in terms of who the author was, but it was somewhat different than the rest of Torah. And since it was somewhat different than the rest of Torah, that's enough to give it its own halacha. That's the sukkah. That's the Gemara. Now, obviously, the difficulty with saying that Yeshua wrote the Torah is self-evident. To say that Yeshua wrote any part of the Torah is self-evident. typically that's considered kfira to say something like that. To say that anyone besides Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah. We believe that the entire Torah, one of the Kari Amunah, is that the entire Torah as we have it was given to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's a very big challenge to understand the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. There was a Ksav Yad that was found years ago from Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. They were sure it was from Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. It was a Perush on Chumash. And it was mostly pretty good stuff, except there were a couple of pieces that were somewhat controversial. Like, for instance, it said on Vayihi Ben Soa, you know, the upside-down nuns, that the inverted nuns that surround Vayihi Ben Soa. So it said, oh, the reason that there are inverted nuns there is because David HaMelech added that into the Torah later on. That wasn't in the original version. So, you know, things like that, what we would normally call kfira. So they asked a shaila to Rav Moshe, and it's a printed in Igros Moshe, what should they do with the book? Like, can they print that? So Rav Moshe said, the whole book is obviously a forgery, because Rav Yehuda HaChassid would never write something like that. So any printed copies you have to burn. Don't worry about any legitimate Torah that's in there. Scholars checked it out, and they were sure that it was legitimate Rav Yehuda HaChassid, whatever. He said, it doesn't matter. Obviously, they snuck that in. You don't know what else they might have snuck into it, and therefore you have to assume that there could be kfira and messages of apikorsis throughout the entire Sefer. Of course, they didn't like that answer, so they went to other Gedolei Yisrael who told them, no, just take out the kfira and, you know, leave the good stuff in. So I think the book is available. I think you can get it, yeah?
What about the Torah before Moshe?
What?
What about the Torah before Moshe?
What do you mean?
You say that's also written by
the for sure. Well, that's easy because
the same way he was allowed to write the past, he's allowed to write the future.
Well, you can write the past because it's true already. The future is not true already.
It is true.
So hold on to that thought. That is brought by some of the Rishonim that maybe he's not lying. That's what Nevi'im do. Nevi'im tell you what's going to happen in the future. Like, are you going to say the entire Tochacha is a lie? No, the Tochacha tells you, if you do Averos, this is going to happen. And the Ramban goes through how the Tochacha takes you through the Chorban of the first Beis HaMikdash and what happened with the Chorban of the second Beis HaMikdash. That's Nevuah. That's what Nevuah is all about. So, in fact, that's if you look at Rabbeinu Bechai says exactly that. That it's not a lie to write the future, because the future is Nevuah, just like any Navi would write the future. Fine. Now, the Tosos discusses, Tosos says, well, we learn a halacha from this idea that we say in the Gemara that when Moshe Rabbeinu was writing, he repeated every word. There's a halacha that's derived from here. Tosos writes that the chumrahu lekosvei sefer Torah mezuzu tefillin, that this is a chumrah that kosvei sefer Torah tefillin mezuzah have, that they say over the words as they're writing them. That it's an appropriate chumrah to have based on the Gemara that says Moshe Omer v'kosev, that Moshe Rabbeinu repeated the words and said them over. The question, of course, that's gonna be raised is that if Moshe Rabbeinu wrote these words on the day of his death, there is, and Tosfos raises this issue, there is a chazal that Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos. So it causes a bit of a problem to say Moshe Rabbeinu died on Shabbos and was writing on the day of his death, because that would be an Issur D'oraisa. What a way to go after that kind of career. So he's sitting there writing all day on Shabbos. What? Connect back to yesterday. Good. So, or maybe not exactly that, but maybe something like that. Maybe Moshe wrote in a way that he wouldn't be chayiv for Kosev and Shabbos, right? So take a look in the back of the packet. I just added it in last minute. Most of these marmakomas from a shir I gave a long, long time ago. But in the back of the packet, I just added in the tshuva from the Har Tzvi. The Har Tzvi is Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank. It was one of the Gedolei Yerushalayim from the middle of the 20th century. I believe he is the great-grandfather of Rav Yonason Sachs from Yeshiva University. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank discusses a Sefer Torah that you corrected, and the ink is still wet. I mean, let's say they're in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, and they notice that there's a mistake, so it needs to be corrected, and the guy that gets the Aliyah is like, oh, I'm a sofer. He just takes out his pen, and he corrects the mistake right there. Can they continue with Kriyas HaTorah? Do you need to wait for the ink to dry? So, strange question. So he writes, Kol zman shad yolach, adayin ha-sefer Torah chaseira. As long as the ink is still moist, the Sefer Torah is still considered chaser. And he says you find the same thing by a get. that when you give the get to the woman when it's still moist, it's not a ksav shel kayama, it's not yet a permanent ink, because you could wipe away moist letters, so it's not yet a permanent ink, and therefore it's not a kosher get. It's as if you wrote with other liquids that don't leave a mark. Minchas Chinuch goes so far as to say, we know on Shabbos there are certain malachas that you do that the second you do it, you're in violation of the malacha. But there are other malachas that take time. Meaning, if I'm Zoreya on Shabbos, nothing happens when I put something in the ground. It takes time till, and if I bake or cook on Shabbos. So if I take a batter or a raw piece of meat and I put it in an oven, did I cook? Not really, because if I take it out of the oven right that second, nothing got cooked. It takes time. It's a process. It takes time till it actually happens. So we normally think of kosev as one of the immediate ones. You do it, you did it. It's done. Ksiva has been done as soon as you write. Says in Minchas Chinuch, Frank quotes, that no, kosev is also one of those kinds of malachos. That you write, you put the words down on paper now, you're not yet chayiv until the ink dries, where it's a glay milsel mafreya that you had written at that moment. Let's say I put something in the oven and someone else quickly takes it out. Did I do bishul? So the Gemara says no. The Gemara discusses, what if you're a Talmud, the Gemara and Shabbos discusses, what if you're a Talmud Chacham, and you see an Ama Aretz puts his dough in the oven. The way they used to bake bread is they wouldn't put it in the oven, they would put it like around the oven. They would like attach it to the walls of the oven was like a cylinder with fire in the middle, and they would attach the dough around the outside perimeter of the walls of the cylinder. So the guy puts the dough there. Now the Rabbanan made an issue, the Rabbanan of Radiyas Hapas on Shabbos, that you're not allowed to take dough out of bread out of an oven on Shabbos. Nisr Drabbanan. I see this guy just put his dough on the oven on Shabbos. If I don't take it down, he's going to be in violation of Nisr Daraisa. If I do take it down, I'm going to be in violation of Nisr Drabbanan. So do we say, Chatei Kadei Sheiska Chavircha? Better for me to do an Avera so that I'll save him from a Nisr Daraisa. Regardless of what the answer is, you see clearly from that sugya, if I take it down, I do in fact save him from the Issa D'Araisa. If it turns out that he didn't bake, despite his best efforts, he didn't do the Issa D'Araisa. So kosev is something like that, says Minchas Chinuch. If you write with ink and it's still wet, you didn't yet write. The writing is only once it dries up. And then he says he found in the Sefer Kapei Aron, that also quotes the same idea, that as long as the ink is not yet dry, you're not yotze, you cannot be yotze yuchiv of Kriyas HaTorah from such a Sefer Torah. Fine. He quotes that there's a machlok zachron about this. Now take a look at the paragraph beginning, Ubedivrei Hanal. Right, in the left-hand column, second paragraph, Ubedvarai Hanal. And based on what I just told you about the moist ink and the dry ink, he says, Kasafti liyashev, Divrei ha'asarim ha'amoros shekosel liyashiv kushas ha'rosh perek arvi psachim. There's a sefer called Asarim ha'amoros where he tries to answer a kasha of the Rosh, where the Rosh asks shehikshala omrim shemosh Rabbeinu meis b'Shabbos. The Rosh asks, how can you say that Moshe Rabbeinu died in Shabbos? Midamrin b'medrash parshas vayelech shebo b'yom kasav yud gimel sefer Torah b'Shabbos heicha yekosev. That on the day of Moshe Rabbeinu's death, he wrote 13 sefer Torah. If he wrote 13 sefer Torah, how could it have been Shabbos? How could he write on Shabbos? So the tirates al zeha asarim amaros. So the asarim amaros answers al pi masha amru Moshe kosei bidema, based on what our Gemara says the Moshe wrote bidema. V'kai melon hakosei b'mashkin me peros pater. If you write with anything other than ink, like with fruit juice or with other clear liquids, you're pater. So Moshe wasn't writing. He wasn't writing with ink. He was writing bidema. Now that assumes pshat in the Gemara is bedema doesn't mean with tears streaming down his face. It means he was actually using the tears to write, as opposed to using ink. Which again, as we said, doesn't seem like pasha pshat in the Gemara, because the Gemara's whole raya from Baruch Ben Neriah is about writing with ink. Baruch Ben Neriah wrote bidyo. He said he wrote bidyo with ink. His only thing was that he was sad. But he's assuming no. Bedema means literally. So that's the answer of the Asarim HaMaros. So he wasn't chayiv for kosev on Shabbos because he wrote bedema. Frekt Rabbi Yaakov Emdin, v'hikshal zeh ha'yayvitz, dim kein kamelin sefer Torah in ksav. Great, he wrote Bedema. Then you know what else he didn't do? He didn't write 13 Sefer Torah. Because whatever he wrote weren't kosher Sefer Torah. If you write a whole Sefer Torah with tears, you don't have a Sefer Torah. You have a bunch of tears on a piece of parchment. V'tirets. And Rabbi Yaakov Emden answered, Shebneis nehepach l'dio. It miraculously turned into ink. V'shuv hikshu alav. So they ask, okay, but if at the time that he wrote it, it was tears, does the fact that it miraculously turns into ink later make it a Sefer Torah? Don't you need a ksiva, Sefer Torah, the Shas ksiva, to be writing a Sefer Torah? You can't not write a Sefer Torah, have a Sefer Torah, you know, write itself and say that's a kosher Sefer Torah. How do you have a Sefer Torah write itself? If you pour ink all over something and it just comes out written like a Sefer Torah, or you push a button on a printer and it comes out written like a Sefer Torah, so that's not kosher. I don't care that it looks like a Sefer Torah. At the time that you wrote it, it's not a Sefer Torah. B'shas HaKsiva was puzzled. So it says Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in the next paragraph, Amarti liyashiv al pi dvarenu anal. But based on what I said, everything works out great. Diyitachin lomar benidin nidan shafati shabshas HaKsiva hayadema sheinu kosher HaKsiva Sefer Torah. Granted, when he wrote it, it was still tears, and therefore it was not a kosher Sefer Torah. But any time you write a Sefer Torah, it's not a kosher Sefer Torah at the time of your writing. Because you write with wet ink. And at the time that it's wet, it's not a kosher Sefer Torah. It's built into the nature of Ksiva Sefer Torah that at the time of your writing, it's not yet a Sefer Torah. That it's only going to become a kosher Sefer Torah afterwards. Memela, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote 13 Sefer Torah in the normal way. He's just not chayiv on Shabbos. He's not chayiv for Kosei b'Shabbos because he was writing Bedema. So the fact that he was writing with tears, the fact that he wasn't using ink, and that it later changed into ink, doesn't passel the Sefer Torah. Because any time you write originally, it's never a kosher Sefer Torah. It always turns later. So what difference does it make if it turns later by drying or if it turns later by turning to ink and drying? Either way, it's turning on its own. You can't rely on this, but if it happens based on your action, so then you wrote a Sefer Torah.
You can rely on it drying, because that's the normal way.
Ah, good. So l'chora, there's a pasha l'chilak, right? That when you're writing with ink, that's called doing the malacha, because that's all a human being can do, and that's what you're supposed to do when you want to write something. When you write with tears, to say that you did a ksiva Sefer Torah is much more difficult. Yeah?
We don't have to extend it only to Shabbos. We can even say that that's why he was able to write by endless motion. Because...
Oh, good. Right. Meaning, that's how he understands the Gemara. That's what he thinks the Gemara is solving. That since he wrote a Bedema, there's no problem of writing Vayom Shem Moshe.
Not Bedema, I'm saying even with wet ink.
Oh, with wet ink,
that
it's...
Meaning at the time he wrote it, it was wet, and then he died after.
So why don't we say maybe Bedema is not to be taken literally. He just wrote it with wet ink, and he died right after he finished writing it. Okay, could be.
If that's true, then how could the pasuk say Lakuach et Sefer Torah Zeh? How could he give over Sefer Torah if it's not completely done before he's dead?
Yeah. So meaning, whatever you're going to say about one, you should say about the others. Ultimately, that's what's going to be the problem. That if Moshe Rabbeinu really gave over the Torah, then he also really wrote on Shabbos. And if he didn't really give the Torah, then he didn't really write on Shabbos.
I'm already using shot that the tears miraculously turn into ink. Just say, I mean, he used tears, and as he was writing it, came out as ink, and then it's kosher right away. That's not tears to begin with. If you're already using it, and they say, like, oh, wait, when you wrote it, and then it turned into ink. Just as he was writing it, it turned into ink. Why does it have to, I mean, it could have started with tears, and then...
Why does that help?
I'm saying this way, I had B'Shas Ksiva, it was kosher Sefer Torah.
And turned into dry ink, or it doesn't matter, yeah, dry or wet?
He dipped his quill in...
In his tears.
Tears, and he wrote and came out as ink.
Okay, I think that might be what he is saying, that it turned into ink as he was doing it. Yeah, I think that might be what he is saying.
Yes, the B'Shas Ksiva, why would be a kosher B'Shas Ksiva? It's not a good Sefer Torah. If it's coming out of ink, then what's wrong?
Right.
As long as it's coming out as ink. If it was coming out as tears first, then it turned into...
Okay.
Sakash of...
Okay, let's see where he goes with this. So he says, At the end of the day, he says, I still have a struggle. The paragraph begins with Aval Adayim Kasha. He says, because if, in regards to Hechsher Sefer Torah, we say that it's a good ksiva. So in regards to Shabbos, it should be a good ksiva, and it should be chayiv. Right? So he says, L'achra iyun yesh l'chalik b'davar. At the end of the day, though, he says, I think there's a distinction. V'ef shalomar de Hechsher Sefer Torah l'chud, v'chiyav al melech saksiva l'chud. What makes a kosher Sefer Torah and what makes a violation of Hilchos Shabbos follow two different gedarim? As follows. V'lo karav zelza, they have nothing to do with each other. Let's say I write with my left hand and I'm a righty on Shabbos. So I'm not chayiv. Potter. Let's say I write a Sefer Torah with my left hand and I'm a righty. It's not going to be neat, but it could be kosher. It's a kosher Sefer Torah. So you see, what we call kosev on Shabbos and what we're going to call ksiva for a Sefer Torah are not necessarily the same. B'chakas mechokek chenkas v'beishmol sham delav l'kol mili midamin and get l'Shabbos. Just like we find that get and Shabbos don't play by the same rules. The b'Shabbos being a melech smach sheves, like we discussed yesterday, domi d'mishkan, Shabbos requires willful, thoughtful action. So we can say the same thing here, but didn't ksiva bedema. She'achar kach nepach l'diyo. That he wrote with tears, turned into ink. Sefer Torah k'sheira. Aval yinchiv Shabbos. Yesh lomar depater mishum de'etzem lech saksiva lo avidumi d'mishkan. Ooh, by Shabbos, what's the gedder? Is it the way it was done by the Mishkan? In the Mishkan, they didn't write with tears. They wrote with ink. So that's the gedder, melech Shabbos. He didn't do melech Shabbos. By Sefer Torah, you don't have to do the way they did in the Mishkan. You just have to write in a way where you're producing a kasher Sefer Torah. And you are. So he says, it's a kiyum of ksiva Sefer Torah, but not a kiyum, not a violation of Shabbos. So that was an interesting idea to deal with Tosfos' issue of Moshe Rabbeinu's Chil Shabbos.
Is there Durabanans back then or not?
Moshe Rabbeinu made certain Takanas Durabanans. The earliest Durabanans were Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu. But why? Where most of the Rabbanans didn't exist yet. Question is that the Gemara assumes that Mishnah, the end of Kiddushin, that the Avos, that Avram Avinu at least was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula. I think the Gemara is an expression of Afilu Eruvei Tchumen, that even the Rabbanans essentially. But he probably wasn't chayiv to do that. He did that. Why? What are you thinking? Writing Bismol.
I think that this is the Rabbanan anyway. You shouldn't do that either.
Right. So. Yeah, I think the best we're going to be able to do is get out of the Doraisa. I don't think we're going to be able to save him from the Rabbanans over here. But yeah, okay. So now,
Is it so posh that he died on Shabbos?
No, it's not posh at all. Tosfos goes back and forth on it and says, no, it's possible that he died on Friday. But according to that Medrash, that he died on Shabbos, so then you have this issue. In fact, Tosfos tries to prove from the Psukim that he didn't die on Shabbos because the siege of Yericho finished on Shabbos. Meaning they went around Yericho for 7 days. That was the first major victory, the Jewish people had, led by Yeshua, going into Eretz Yisrael, was they surrounded Yericho. It was the Ir Betzura, was a completely fortified city with a massive wall around it. They had no chance. A ragtag group of Jews traveling through 40 years in the Midbar, coming in to fight the people of Yericho. They had no chance whatsoever. And Hashem said, don't worry about it. Just, you know, go around the city 7 times, blow your trumpets, and the wall, you know, I'll take care of the rest. And in fact, the walls came caving in, and, you know, that was the win. And they thought everything was going to be easy after that, and that's why they lost the Battle of Ai. Well, it's not entirely because they took the spoils from Yericho, Achan, whatever. But the point is, the Yericho, why did they say that no one's allowed to take the spoils of Yericho? So the way Chazal understands it is because the Yericho was captured on Shabbos. It was won on Shabbos. It was a Hora Shah that they were allowed to fight on Shabbos, that they were allowed to capture Yericho on Shabbos. So if Yericho happened on Shabbos, so Tosfos does a whole Cheshbon where he traces it back. And Moshe Rabbeinu died in Zayin Adar, so, and Yericho was on Chav Ches, Nisan, so he traces it back. The Moshe Rabbeinu really died on Friday, and he didn't die on Shabbos. So no, it's not Pasha, to answer your question in more brief terms. It's not Pasha that he died in Shabbos. Okay, now, the Gemara, again, makes two separate distinctions about these last eight psukim. Number one, that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote them b'tema. Number two, that they were written without being reviewed verbally by Moshe Rabbeinu. So now, there are four approaches I outlined over here as to how to understand what made those last eight psukim unique in the way that they were done. Rashi over here in the Gemara Menachos says that Moshe wrote a bedema, and Rashi says on those words that he was that he wrote a bedema, v'lo haya omer acharav merov tsa'aro. He was so sad he didn't say anything, he just wrote it. So the kasha on Rashi is, good, he didn't say a lie. Instead, he wrote a lie. How does that help you? Meaning, if you understand the Gemara, Pasha Pshat, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not actually write it with tears. He wrote it with ink while he was crying, and because he was sad, that's the point of Bedema, because he was sad, he didn't say it. So good, so instead of saying a lie, Moshe wrote a lie. You're not allowed to write lies either. So how does that help us? So Marsha has a different approach. The Marsha says, no, he wrote it with tears. And writing with tears doesn't count as writing. And he never said it, so he neither said a lie, nor did he write a lie. He made the formation of a lie. It's like if I write, you know, on the table like this, you know, make the formation of letters. I am the greatest basketball player in the world. So is that a lie? Well, now that I said it, it's a lie. But if I were to just write it like that, I didn't do anything that's actually a lie. Because I didn't say a lie, I didn't write a lie, so I didn't find. So Moshe Rabbeinu wrote a bedema. He didn't write a lie, I didn't say a lie. So that saves him from all the trouble. Now, the problem with that is, then Moshe Rabbeinu didn't produce a complete Sefer Torah. Because he produced a bunch of tears. That's not a Torah. Yeah.
When did the tears turn to ink?
Assuming that happened.
Yeah, well, I think don't you have to assume if he wrote it in tears that they eventually turned to ink?
No, you could assume that after he wrote it in tears, someone held it up to the light and saw the outlines of what he did and filled it in with ink. Like Yoshua, let's say. Which would minimize the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe Yoshua did participate in the writings, just Moshe Rabbeinu sort of put the outline there for Yoshua to fill in.
So that's, okay. But assuming that it turns in, when did that happen? But can't you say...
Wasn't there.
but if you say that it was still while Moshe was alive, so then it's still alive.
But it's a lie that God made, not that Moshe made.
That's even worse.
Okay. Okay, fair point. Fair point. Okay, so let's move on to the next possibility. The Vilna Gaon, a famous piece in the Kol Eliyahu. Beautiful piece in the Kol Eliyahu. Vilna Gaon didn't really write anything. His Talmidim wrote. He didn't really have Talmidim either. He just had a lot of people that used to come to his house and try to listen to him. But, you know, not like... He didn't have an official, you know, yeshiva or anything. Talmidim of the Gra. They say Chaim Voloshin was a big Talmud of the Gra. He went to visit the Gra every once in a while and ask some questions. So he's a Talmud of the Gra. But he was the biggest Talmud of the Gra. But it wasn't the classical Rebbe Talmud the way we think of it. But anyway, they wrote up a bunch of stuff from the Gra, because the Gra himself wrote very little. He wrote his Bira Gra and Shulchan Aruch, but, you know, two words at a time, you know, very difficult to understand. So the Vilna Gaon, Kol Eliyahu, writes that Bedema doesn't necessarily mean tears. Bedema means confusion. It means things were written in a way that wasn't clear at all. And he says that the Torah, and I haven't read this in a while, but I'm pretty sure if I remember correctly, that the way the Torah was the way the Torah is, as we've discussed in the name of the Ramban, in his Hakdamah to his Perush on Chumash, is that the Torah has multiple layers of meaning, and that the osios of Torah itself have kedusha and meaning to it on levels that we don't understand. Like the Ramban says, Kol HaTorah Kula Shmoso Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, the whole Torah is a Shem Hashem. It's not only Bereshis Bara, it's also Bara, Sheyis Bara, in some way, and that means something on some level, in some planet. We just don't get it. But the depth of Torah is such that just having the letters means something, even if the letters aren't arranged the way we have them arranged. So says the Vilna Gaon, Vapirishu milashon miloscha v'demacha ratzolomar meduma v'irbuv osios. Bedema means it was confused and mixed together. Shayakosev mikan ve'elech al pitzeru fe'tevos fe'm shmosav shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Exact lashon that the Ramban uses toward the end of the paragraph, about 5 lines from the end of the paragraph, that he was writing with letters that made up the name of Hashem in some way, V'lo haya nikra klal v'yamasha Moshe. If you would have seen those words, you never would have, if you would have seen those letters that Moshe wrote, you never would have been able to read v'yamasha Moshe. He just wrote a jumble of letters. Raktevos acheros al pisodos haTorah. It may have been v'yam sesham, you know, whatever. It would have been something else. Some other concoction of, you know, how the letters were connected. Ula achar misaso kasvim Yoshua kafisha nitan lo rishos legalus haTorah. And then after he died, Yoshua put it back into order the way we could understand it, to reveal the hidden Torah, or to give us the revealed part of Torah. V'imkein ashnei adeos lo pligi. So then it's no machlokes Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Yehuda. Ki be'emes kasvim Moshe v'lo chasra filu osachas. Moshe wrote the entire Torah, every single letter of Torah. Notice the lashon in the Gemara. What does the Gemara ask? Is it possible Moshe Rabbeinu retired in the last day of Pesukim? It doesn't say that. It says, Efshar Sefer Torah, Chaser Afilu Osachas. Osach, it can't be missing any letters. It doesn't have to present it the way we understand it. It just can't be missing any letters. So says the Gemara, it wasn't. He wrote all the letters. He just couldn't write it in the Nigla way, because in the Nigla way wasn't yet true. That's what it means, Bedema. And then Yoshua fixed it up, Alpi Nigla. And therefore everyone agrees, Shalom al Yisrael. Tag team Moshe Rabbeinu and Yoshua. That's the Gruz approach. Approach number four. The Briskerov here in Menachos. Briskerov says, a discussion really that is had by a lot of Achronim, what exactly is the difference between, let's say, Torah versus Nach? So that's not that hard to figure out the difference between Torah and Nach. We've discussed Torah was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, Asba Klari Ami'ira, a certain clarity, word for word was dictated to him. Nach was written by Nevi'im who saw a vision and they composed their own words. So that's not so hard. The difference between Torah and Nach is not the most difficult. In fact, the Gemara says that Lasadlava, we're not going to need Nach anymore because all of its messages are already in the Torah. All we're going to have is the Chamisha Chumshi Torah and Sefer Yoshua, just so that we can know the Chalukas Haaretz. Sefer Yoshua is important for the Chalukas Haaretz. We were discussing in Taman Alachashe last night about Zvulun. So anyway, that's an easy one. Torah versus Nach. What about Nevi'im versus Ksuvim? So what's the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim? So the first thing, whenever you ask this question, someone always says, who wrote it? That Nevi'im were written by Nevi'im, Ksuvim were written by? A bunch of really smart guys. One second. So the problem with saying that is that we know the Gemara Bava Basra lays out for us that a lot of the same authors wrote parts of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Like, for instance, Yirmiyahu and Navi. Wrote Yirmiyahu and Echa. Shlomo HaMelech was a Navi. And Shlomo HaMelech wrote all the books that he wrote. Mishlei and Shir Shirim, right? All the... So, Koheles. So, what's the difference? So, the Brisker Rav quotes from his father, from Reb Chaim, that the Chiluk between Nevi'im and Ksuvim, even though they have the same Kedusha, you could put one on top of the other, or the other on top of the one. So what's the difference? The Nevi'im hainu denomar l'navi anavua sheyomra balpeh va'achar kachaya anavi kosev nevuaso shenemar lo balpeh. He says, Nevi'im is when Hashem gave a targeted Nevua to a Navi, go and share this with people. He told the Navi, I don't want you to just see this and be inspired. I need you to deliver this message to your generation, and you can record it for future generations as well, because if it's a Hutzruch HaLadaros Nevua, so it gets recorded for future generations as well. One second. Uksuvim nemar l'Navi sheyichtov osa. When a Navi got a Nevua that's going to go into Nevi'im, Hashem gave him a speech to give. When he got a Nevua that taught him wisdom of writing Ksuvim, Hashem gave him a book to write. There was no recital of the book in public. There was no speech made, no stump speech. It was just, he gave him a book to write. Write the book, people will read it, they'll get smarter from reading it. There will be a lot of valuable messages in it. That's the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Now, the last eight Pesukim and the rest of Torah may have a similar chilek. May have a similar chilek. In that, in the other, the rest of the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe, Rabbeinu, and said, here, I want you to be a teacher. I want you to not only write it, I want you to teach it. Omer v'korei. I want you to say it, recite it, and, I'm sorry, Omer v'kosev, right? And write it. The last eight psukim, Moshe Rabbeinu was not asked to teach it, to recite it, he was just asked to write it. So that's how the Brisk Rav understands the chilek. Now the question is, does it really solve any of the problems? Because if he's, again, just writing it, but writing it normally, so then it's still a lie. So it doesn't really solve the problems, he's just coming up with a parallel for this chilek of not being Omer, where you have it elsewhere in Torah, as there is in the Nevi'im Ksuvim. Yeah?
Why is that? That parallel work, if like Nevi'im Rishonim, they're mostly stories, like Shoftim, Malachim, it's not like what their records will look like, it's more like the story that you're learning out.
That's a good question. It could be that by the time those stories were written, there was a requirement to recite those stories publicly, because there was what to learn.
Shouldn't be placed in Ksuvim?
No, Ksuvim were things that you weren't supposed to recite. Ksuvim were things just to write down.
Which of these things like happen?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Question in general was: is it so pleasure that things were written as they happened? Like, why? Like, is it possible that Moshe got the whole Torah and wrote everything down at Har-Sinai, and then it wouldn't be a problem writing on Shabbos?
It's a lie.
Then
the whole thing would be a lie.
Right, so there is a discussion in the Maseches Gittin whether Torah is Megillah Megillah Nitna or Torah Chasuma Nitna. But I think even if you say Torah Chasuma Nitna, it was only up until that point. You have to see, the Prima Gadin discusses this in the Psicha Kolelis, exactly how the Torah was given. It's like a big topic that's discussed amongst like those type of Svarim, like the Maratzchias, the Prima Gadin, those kinds of... I don't think we say he was given all the mitzvos. Mitzvahs are already all there, but not necessarily every word of Torah at that point. Okay, we got to move in here a little bit. So we said, okay, because it's different, now we had four explanations of what the difference is, but because it's different, a yachid is korei son. A yachid, read them. What does it mean, yachid korei son? So I collected here five pshatim. First of all, Rashi over here says, yachid korei son, that you're not supposed to split it into two separate aliyos. You don't stop in the middle to have someone else read it. Three kashas in Rashi. Rav Mirsky collects in the second volume of Hegyonei Halacha. Three kashas in Rashi. That if it was Yachid Kori Yosan meant only one person reads it, it shouldn't have said Yachid, it should have said Echad. One person reads it. What's Yachid? Second kashas in Rashi. Instead of saying Yachid Kori Yosan, it should have said Ein Mafsikin Bekriyasan. If it's a din in the way the psukim are read, rather than a din in the gavra, in the person, the emphasis in the language should not have been on the person, it should have been on the psukim. That these are psukim that we are ein mafsik and b'kriyasan. Like the Gemara has in Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph, when it talks about certain places that you're not supposed to stop. Third kasha, what is Yachid Korei Yosan? What is the fact that you don't stop middle of the Aliyah have anything to do with the fact that these psukim were written differently? Why would that make you not add an extra Ola at that point? What's one got to do with the other? Those are the three kashas they ask in Rashi. Tosfos, both Menachos and Bab Basra, says no, Yachid Korei Yosan means that when the person gets an Aliyah, only the Ola reads it. The Balkore doesn't read it with the Ola saying in an undertone like we get Aliyos. You know, when you get an Aliyah, you know the halacha is you're supposed to read it, you're supposed to actually say out the words, even though there's a Balkore reading it aloud. So, not by these last eight psukim, but these last eight psukim, only one person reads it. Rav Sturmbach insists that this must be done. That whoever gets Chasan Torah should make sure he knows how to lane. He's got to do it himself. So that's what Tosfos says. What's the obvious kasha in Tosfos? You ever go to a real serious Sephardic shul?
Huh?
Whoever gets the Aliyah reads. There's an older Sephardic man, father of someone who lives down the block from me, every time he comes to visit the shul, So they give him an aliyah, and he gets up with the aliyah, shoves the balkari out of the way, and he takes it. He reads the aliyah. So that's the way it was always done. So what's Tosus talking about? Normally they always had Yachid Kari Osad. So there's a question. You have to go back and do the research and see if they actually did always have Yachid Kari Osad. Or in the times of Balia Tosus, maybe in certain communities, they already did have two people up there reading. That's Tosus Pshat, yeah?
Can you say, I don't know, like this works, that Yachid is more like an individual that reads, like, should be someone.
Good, we'll get to that in a second. Rashash says Yachid Kari Osad means that it should only be read once. That even though Vizos HaBracha, you might, because you want to get everyone in Aliyah, Simchas Torah, you're reading. But Yachid Kari Osad, in the last day Pesukim, you only read once. Everyone gets together, Chas and Torah, they read it, and that's it. Why? Why would it be different? Why would you not have everyone read it? And why would you not read it multiple times? Maybe because it has, you don't want to say lesser Kedusha, but it's a little bit, you know, demoted from the rest of the Torah. So we don't want those to be the psukim we read over and over again that we give extra kavod to.
Just get the kohen and they're cooking.
What?
Just get the kohen and they're cooking.
Yeah, okay. The Mishnah Brura, quoting from the Mordechai, based on Ramah and Tafresh Samach Tes, quoting from Mordechai really, says exactly what Blisko said before. Yachid Korisa means the Meyuchad Shebekihila, the greatest guy. Chasen Tori, you should give to someone who's a legitimate Talmud Chacham, someone who's, you know, you give it to the rabbi of the community, you give it to someone, I don't know, someone who's respectable, someone who's a Magid Shir, something like that. What's the obvious problem with that? Because the last eight psukim are on a lower level, therefore we give it to the better person. Normally you give to the rabbi, the Aseres HaDibros, I don't know, you give them like the good ones. Why would you give them the one that was written by Yehoshua, maybe? Or the one that was written Bedema, the sad one? That doesn't seem nice.
Do we ever give the Tochachan to the rabbi, like, because he could take it?
I think there are those that are knowing to do that, yes. So you say he could, but over here it's not, here we say, it's bad for the Ola. It's just sad for Klal Yisrael. So you just say, because no one else wants it, so give it to the rabbi. Give it to the greatest person because no one else wants it. Could be.
Yeah, I think that's what, like the person, Chacham Tzvi, he raised that as a possibility, so it's not to
right.
Be mezalzel.
He said not to be mezalzel, that's a little different than no one else wants it. He said people are going to look at this Gemara in Menachos Dav Lamed, Babasu Dav Tes Vav, they're going to say, what? Yehoshua wrote this? Man, these Pesukim aren't so important. So you want to make a big deal out of that, dance the guy in, a Chasen Torah, and give a whole, say, no, these are really important Pesukim, just like the rest of the Torah is really important. You know what they say, my brother was once at Rabbi Tendler Shul for Simchas Torah, and Rabbi Tendler is a very sharp person with a very sharp sense of humor, and he said to my brother, the Chasen Torah this year is a Chasidish Chasen. He's never met the Kala before in his life. Chacham Tzvi says it's not appropriate. You should have someone who knows the Torah. You should have someone who's met the Kala before, who's learned a little bit of Torah. Yeah.
Can you say that maybe like in Judaism, not so much of the sad thing, but someone celebrate per se, like you're going to Olam Haba now, so it's not necessarily like this horrible thing that the rabbis necessarily get it.
Right, is death so bad when you're Moshe Rabbeinu, right?
Yeah.
He's probably going to a good place.
Yeah.
He didn't get to go in Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, like,
and still the completion of the Torah, still the siyum of the Torah. They say Reb Chaim used to be Makbid, he wanted Chasen Bereishis, not Chasen Torah, because he held that the whole mile of a siyum is to be able to understand it better the second time around. So that was the whole kunst of the siyum. That's hadronalach. What do we say to the siyum? We don't say, yeah, I finished. We say, hadronalach, come back to me. Now, next time around, I'm going to get it so much better. That's the source of siyum is what? Shlomo Melech, right? Shlomo Melech finished building the Beis HaMikdash. What did he do? There was no avoda done yet. Was that? No, but the whole point was, I now laid the groundwork, now I'm ready. Now we can go forward. That's the whole mile of making a siyum is the ability to understand it better the next time around. Alright, so the Chacham Tzvi raises this issue about why you would give it to the greatest person. It's an interesting tshuva in terms of what the detail of what he's dealing with. Did you get the shaila? You saw what he was talking about? He's talking about a guy who was involved in converting to Islam because he was a Shabtai Tzvi follower. And Shabtai Tzvi, those who followed Shabtai Tzvi had a familiar Shabtai Tzvi, the false Messiah. Yeah. So those who, if you're not, study up on it. Good, interesting chapter in Jewish history. Those who followed Shabtai Tzvi ended up converting to Islam because they believed that you needed to be yored to the depth of Tumah in order to bring Mashiach out and bring the Nitzotzos of Kedusha out of the depth of Tumah. That's why Nathan of Gaza was Shabtai Tzvi's prophet that would go around, and he continued to defend Shabtai Tzvi after Shabtai Tzvi converted to Islam and after Shabtai Tzvi died. There are still followers of Shabtai Tzvi today. I think there are a couple of Meshugayim somewhere in the world that still believe. But for hundreds of years afterwards, we have cases, we have records of Dinei Torah of women who discovered that their husbands were Shabtai Tzvi followers. And the husbands told them, it's a mitzvah to go sleep with that other man, and it's a mitzvah for me to, like, because they had these various mishigasim that they had. They were mevatel all fast days, they were mevatel, things like that. That was so this guy turned into a Shabtai Tzvi follower, converted to Islam, and then he discovered the whole thing was a hoax. Shabtai Tzvi wasn't really the Messiah, so he came back and he became a Balchuv, and they wanted to make him Chasen Torah. And people said, I don't want that guy to be my Chasen Torah. So that was the tshuva, that was the question. So the Har Tzvi, the Chacham Tzvi rather, who's the father of Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and there was no one that sniffed out Shabtai Tzvi followers better than Rabbi Yaakov Emden. He made a career out of it, out of finding little illusions, because if you were a Shabtai Tzvi follower by that point in history, 100 years later, you had to be in hiding. Like, you couldn't say it outright, you had to just write things in your svarim that were like a little bit, it was like a serious thing. Big Talmidei Chacham, big Rabbanim were involved in this. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden was one of the leaders in sniffing them out. He may have sniffed a little too far, because he claimed that Rabbi Yonah Snipeshitz was a Shabtai Tzvi follower, and that sort of got him into trouble. But anyway, so the Chacham Tzvi writes that he thinks this guy can be the Chasen Torah. And he said, but in that context, he discusses why you would give it to the most respectable person, and he suggests that possibility that maybe you dafka want to give it to Talmud Chacham, that other people shouldn't look askance on those last eight pesukim. So I want to get to one last thing. The Rambam says Yachid Kori Yosef means you don't need to be Kori Bitzibur, you don't need a minion to read the last eight pesukim. So the Ravid has an interesting hasaga. The Ravid says Hatzibur Hechan Halach, where did the Tzibur go? What does that mean? Where did the Tzibur go? Very fascinating rabbi. You got to take a look. Kesef Mishnah, Sefer Amonik. There's a lot out there. Maybe I'll just, in 2 minutes, try to say over the Mishnah Yavitz from Zhulti. It's a beautiful vart. He quotes as Machlokas Manig and the Ran, if you're allowed to finish Kriyas HaTorah when most of the minion has left already. If, let's say, you're left with four people in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, my shul this past week, a bunch of people just walked out in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. Rav Shechter turns to me and says, I hope we're left with a minion? People are leaving out. That was slightly embarrassing. So anyway, so there's machlokas between the manig and the ran. If you can continue, if most of the minyan left. So the ran holds that when some people leave, you can finish with less than a minyan because the group still has a shamed tzibur, right? But that's only when some people leave. But once most of them leave, then they lose the shamed tzibur from the group. The manig holds that you only need a minyan to begin Kriyas HaTorah. Without a minyan, you may finish Kriyas HaTorah, and therefore it doesn't make a difference how many people leave, because it's not a din in the shamed tzibur being retained, it's a din in everything going basa da aschala, everything going after the first moment. So says Mishnah Seyavit so beautifully, the Rambam normally holds like the Ran, namely that if most of the group left, you can no longer read it. And that's why he says, no, the last eight psukim yachid kareyosan, even if the majority of the group left, you're allowed to continue and you're allowed to finish it. And says the Ravid, Hatzibur Heichan Halach, the Ravid holds like the Manig. And he says, I understand, that's the same thing that the Halach always is, that if most of the Tzibur leaves, that you're allowed to continue. That's no different over here. So that Machlokas, he tries to make a Lashitasam in that Machlokas. That's the Mishnah Tzibur. Okay, we'll stop there. Mr. Shem, Monday again, I will not be able to say Shir. I have a Chasna. Tuesday, a little bit earlier, but we'll say Shir, and we're going to be with Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis, the bottom of Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis on Tuesday.